Happy New Year soon, next week. But I want to give a message, a New Year message, entitled Renew Strength. Okay, Renew Strength. And the passage is from Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29 to 31. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29 to 31. And it says here, God, he gives strength to the weary and increase the power of the weak. Isn't that a great promise? You know, the world forgets the weak and celebrates the strong. But this passage, this promise says, God celebrates the weak, the weary. Even youth grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagle. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. And God's people said. You know, this passage talks about weariness. And it's something that we all fall into, weariness. Because this passage says even young men stumble and fall. Okay? Young man, old man, child, adult, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how old you are. You could fall into weariness. And here's the thing about weariness that we need to watch out for. When you are weary, the Bible says you will stumble and fall. You will stumble and fall. This is when you become disillusioned. You get easily irritated. You start to see the worst in people, and people start to bother you. You become more judgmental. You become more critical. You start to blame others. You lose enthusiasm. You become depressed and hopeless. You get stressed. And you are more open to rejection, shame, and condemnation. And you start to fight the wrong battle. You start to fight one another. Right? And you lose the spiritual battle. Spiritually, when you are weary, you stumble and fall, meaning you open yourself up to demonic attacks. You can't discern God's will, and you start to make the wrong decisions. You know, emotions like anger become sinful. You know, it becomes destructive. When weary, you start to listen to lies. When weary, you're easily shamed. You easily feel rejected, easily hopeless, easily you get depressed. And as I was preparing this sermon, this is the conviction that I got for us as a church, including myself. The enemy, you know, we only have one enemy as a Christian, and that's the devil. Okay? The enemy is targeting one area of your life. And he's targeting and hitting it again and again and again, because to make you weary. What makes you weary is that you get hit over and over and over again. So when you get weary, it is to make you stumble and make you fall. There's same lies that's been hitting you. The enemy's picking the old brokenness. That one person, the enemy uses you to attack you. That one addiction you can't be set free from. That one sin that you cannot let go. And the reason the enemy targets that one area of your life is so that you get used to the dysfunction. You know, it's making you empty inside, dry spiritually. You become brokenhearted. But what happens when the enemy hits the same thing over and over again? See, God speaks truth. He gives you the seed of truth, his promise, his word, his prophetic word. But when the enemy hits that same area over and over again, the seed is planted, the devil comes and steals it. It never takes hold. That promise, that truth never takes hold. It never germinates. It never grows. The enemy targets that one area again and again is because over time, what happens is you become okay with the sin. You become okay with the brokenness, the bondage. And you start living with the bondage. You start living with the brokenness. You start living with the sin, which is not the promise of God for your life. Jesus came so that you will have abundant life. Not a life of brokenness, life of sin and bondage. But what happens is the enemy is targeting that one area again and again and again so that you get used to the brokenness, you get used to the sin, you get used to the bondage, and you don't deal with it later on over time. And you mistakenly believe that I am okay. I am doing spiritually okay when you are not. So today, I just want to share some simple things that has helped me to renew my strength. Right? And I taught this in the past, but I put together the points to help you to renew your strength. Something that I've been working on, I'm trying to be better at. And it's some practical advice that I want to give you. And so you got to understand there's given. There's spiritual principle, basic, foundational Christian living that's basic, foundational. I'm not going to talk about that, but I want to give you more practical things today. Foundational stuff like daily devotion. Okay? It's like eating. Okay? You can't say, I'm not going to eat today. Okay? Daily devotion, meditation on the Word of God, prayer. Okay? Those are basic Christian foundation. If you're not doing those things, you're saying, spiritually, I don't want to breathe. Okay? I think I could just do it without breathing, without eating. No, you'll become weaker. Okay? You'll become more dry. So those given, meditation on the Word of God, daily devotion, your prayer life, your connection with the Lord, your love, your love life, your relationship, intimacy with God. Those are all basic foundational stuff. But I want to talk about some practical things that I want to give to you today. Practical thing. Number one, you need biblical rest. Okay? Biblical rest. Rest is so important to God that He put it in the Ten Commandments, along with do not murder, okay? Do not lie, do not steal. God says, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy in Exodus 20. But it was not just the Sabbath, okay? If you read the book of Genesis, the creation narrative, see, in our culture, the day begins in the morning, and it ends at night, right? In our culture, in our mindset. But when you look at the creation narrative, okay, it says this. It begins, there was evening and there was morning, first day. And then it says again, there was evening and there was morning, second day. And it continues like that, third day, fourth day, fifth day, sixth day, all the days that God worked. Okay, all the days that God worked and created the universe. Okay? So, but humanly, especially in this culture, in our mindset, our day begins when? In the morning, and it ends at night. God begins the day in the evening. What does that mean? God's day begins with rest. Okay? Begins with rest. And when we think about rest, it needs to be biblical. Okay? It needs to be biblical. Right? It says, make it holy. So it's not biblical rest, it's not watching 4 hours on Netflix. It's not playing video games. Oh, that's my rest. It's not 18 holes of golf. That's my rest. It's not going to Cancun. or Hawaii vacation. That's my rest. No. Biblical rest is a time that you dedicate to renew yourself spiritually. Keep the Sabbath holy. Okay? Keep the Sabbath holy. A time where you focus on personal spiritual revival. It's a time that you set aside, a time of repentance, a time where you want, where you seek to hear the voice of God, where you discern His will. Not fight people, but fight spiritual battle during that time. It's a time where you cast off lies. You identify some of the lies that's in your heart and in your life, and you identify it and you cast it off. It's a time where you are not anxious about anything, but by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving to God, present your request to God, and the peace of God, the rest of God, the rest, His rest, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4. It's a time where you dedicate to embrace God's love for you, His grace, His power, and His truth. Keep the Sabbath holy, a biblical rest. And we need that biblical rest. You won't last too long if you do not know this biblical rest. You won't be able to discern God's will. The lies will be in your heart. You will please people and not God. You'll become spiritually weak. You'll be easily shamed, easily rejected. You'll become cynical about important things. You know what I realized? You know, when I became a Christian, when I first became a Christian, I heard a sermon on the Great Commission. I was so excited. I give my life to the Great Commission. When the Great Commission doesn't excite you anymore, that means you most likely you have become weary. You are weary. You know, second thing, biblical rest, number one. Number two, repent from hidden sins. Repent from hidden sin. You know, I know, you know, in our relationship together, this is a very open church. You know, it's a strong community, so we share all different issues, different problems, you know. But there are areas that is hidden in your life. Areas you don't want anyone to know. It's called area of shame. The Bible says Adam and Eve sinned, right? And they saw that they were naked, meaning they felt shame. They saw that they were naked before, but they didn't feel shame. But once they sinned, they felt shame. And what did that shame do? It made Adam and Eve run away from God, hide from God, and take care of that sin by their own strength. They made fig leaves to cover themselves, to cover their shame. Now, hidden sins in our life the danger of the hidden sin is the devil has power over things that are hidden because he works in darkness. The devil has power over things that are hidden. Most of us, we try to deal with that hidden sin by self-effort, our willpower. But eventually, that willpower will wane over time, and there will be failure, and your cycle of shame will continue and continue and continue. So this is what I'm challenging Catalyst, all right? How do you walk out repentance from hidden sin? You need an accountability partner. This is a very practical advice that I want to give to you. Okay? You need an accountability partner. Someone that you trust, someone who loves you, not somebody who's critical of you. You know, a lot of us, because of some brokenness, we try to get acceptance from people that's very difficult to get acceptance from, okay? Okay? No, no. You need somebody who loves you, someone who's courageous enough to speak truth to you, someone who will keep you accountable. You don't need to come in front of the church and share with everyone my hidden sin or your life goal. But I'm just asking us and challenging you, one person. One person. Not someone who will put more shame on you. Not someone who will judge you. Not somebody who's self-righteous, but who will walk out this repentance with you. But of course, I know what you're saying. I don't have, you know, I can't find anybody like that. You need to develop a deep relationship with a person like this. Okay. What did I not say? I didn't say you need to find that person. You need to develop that kind of relationship. That kind of accountability is developed, not found. Okay? Trust is developed, not found. And I want to speak to this church. Developing that kind of relationship is worth it. You might get betrayed. It might not work out. But what the enemy wants you to do is keep running away from that shame. But when you run away from that shame, because of that shame, you don't understand what's happening spiritually. You will run away from God and hide from God. And you'll put fig leaves to cover your shame. And some people, they have really good fig leaves. Looks really nice, okay, to cover their shame. They still have the shame. It wasn't taken care of. They have really nice fig leaves. But it's still not the answer. Right? You got to let the light come in into the darkness. Not a wall. But first, you let somebody in. Okay? The light. And then God will be able to work. And there will be a light in the darkness. And the enemy will flee. I don't hear amen or encourage me. Number three, forgive those that hurt you. Forgive those who hurt you. Okay? Unforgiveness, the definition of unforgiveness is the word bitterness. Okay, what is bitterness, in my opinion, okay? In this broken world, we all gonna experience rejection. There will be abandonment, there will be neglect, there will be abuse, there will be betrayal, there will be hurt. And you gotta understand, we will all go through rejection. You know, you think, oh, if I love, you know, if I nice, you know, if I'm giving, I won't experience, no. Jesus was perfect, and he experienced rejection. Okay? He experienced rejection. So we will all go through rejection. But what bitterness is, instead of seeking healing, we keep it all inside. Okay? And the bitterness grows and becomes stronger. And the devil's plan is so that there will be bitterness in your heart, and the bitterness will grow, and you start to hurt the people around you. But he doesn't want to stop there. When you're so bitter that you hurt the people around you, eventually you become bitter at God. And that's the ultimate goal of the devil, that you become bitter at God, the hope in your life. the one who heals, the one who forgives, the one who redeems, the one who cleanses you, the one who sanctifies you, the one who gives you new life. See, when you have pain from rejection, like I said, Jesus was rejected. The rejection is not sin. You have not sinned, the pain that you feel. Jesus felt pain when he was rejected. He was not a robot. He incarnated and became a human being. So he felt what you feel. When he was rejected, he felt pain. But Jesus did not hold on to the rejection. But he forgave. On the cross, he says, "Forgive them, for they do not know what they do." He released the bitterness. Bitterness is choosing not to forgive. That's what bitterness is. Instead of God being the true judge, bitterness is choosing, I will judge. I will be the jury. I will be the jailer. I will be the executioner. And when that happens, you'll become like Matthew 18, the unforgiving servant. And it's interesting when you read to the end of the passage, he was forgiven much, but he couldn't forgive his fellow servant for little things. And the Bible says he was sent to the jailer to be tortured. What that bitterness does, it will torture you. It will torture you. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5 says, bitter root will cause you trouble and defile many. Yes, you get rejected. And when you become bitter, that's when you will get defiled. And it will cause trouble. In this broken world, God says, you know, what he says is, in order to overcome bitterness, we have to walk out forgiveness. We have a choice. We could be bitter, or we could choose to forgive. Tell your neighbor, I choose to forgive. Let's say that again. I didn't believe you. I choose to forgive, okay? You see, biblically, Jesus said, forgive 77 times 7, okay? What he's saying is, continuously forgive. Don't count how many times you forgave. Okay? Don't count. If you were the type that 77 times 7, how many times is that? That's not what God is saying. Don't count. Because number 7 is God's number, meaning completion. Completion. Completely forgive. He didn't say 7 times forgive. 77 times. This is so important. The moment somebody rejects you, you gotta immediately forgive and continuously forgive and consistently forgive and completely forgive. Okay? And so you gotta take that time to forgive. Release the bitterness, the hurt, the pain, and give that person that has hurt you to the Lord. God says, vengeance is mine, not yours. God, you take care of that person. You deal with that person. I choose to forgive. Get to that place where you are free from bitterness. You keep forgiving until you are completely set free from bitterness. When that thought, that person that hurt you or reject you or abandoned you or neglected you or abused you, that person comes to your mind and you get all stressed and you feel, oh, you know, that means you still need to forgive. Completely forgive. Amen. Number 4, don't fight people, fight the spiritual battle. And this is very biblical because in the book of Ephesians, it first talks about a relationship in the church between brothers and sisters in the church and talks about how we should love each other. And then it goes more into the household. It says, and then it talks about husband and wife relationship. Husband, love your wife. Wife, you know, respect your husband. And then it doesn't stop there. It talks about parent and children to their parents. Relationship together. Okay? And then it says, our struggle is not with flesh and blood. Husband, your struggle is not with your wife. Wife, your struggle is not with your husband. Meaning, don't fight with each other. That's not your battle. Struggle. It's like wrestling. It's that word struggle. Another word, wrestle. Don't wrestle with your spouse. Parents, don't wrestle with your children. Children, don't wrestle with your parents. Elders, don't wrestle with the church members. Right? But it says, our struggle is not with flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the power of this dark world, and against the spiritual force of evil in the heavenly realm. Okay? Your battle is not with your family, with brothers and sisters in the church, your friends, or generally people. Because when we fight flesh and blood, the battle is usually for control. Who's in control? You know, that's my battle with my mom all the time. Who's in control? I see that. With husband and wife, you know what the battle is? Who is right and who is wrong? When you fight flesh and blood, that's where you spend a lot of energy. I'm right, you're wrong. It's about insecurity. It's about pride when you fight flesh and blood. And when it's about control, when it's about insecurity, when it's about pride, it's about who's right and wrong, you will stay in bitterness. When you fight the spiritual battle, okay, what you're doing is you're letting go of control. Who is right and wrong is not important anymore. You humble yourself instead of pride. You have courage instead of insecurity. Why? See, when you understand a spiritual battle, you realize it's a battle for your soul. It's a battle for your mom's soul. It's a battle for your children's soul. Your child. It's a battle for your husband. Their soul. It's a battle for your wife. It's a battle for the church. It's a battle for their soul. We think spiritual battle, is when somebody speaks in demonic voice and throw up and the head spin and shake. Oh, spiritual battle. No, what God is saying is, spiritual battle is a battle for your family's soul. For your soul. For the soul of this church. See, when you're in spiritual darkness, the enemy will bring up, like I said, this is the conviction I got for this church. Your broken past. It could have been when you were a little kid. Doesn't matter how many years ago. We'll bring up the hurt, the pain. You see, the enemy's not that creative. God is creative. Man, look at the sunset. Look at the stars. Look at Grand Canyon. Look at the ocean. Look at all the different animals. Look at the flowers. God is creative. But the devil's not that creative. He knows he will just attack the same thing over and over and over again. He will keep going back to the old. What's going on? You're being spiritually attacked. So my call to Catalyst is the call that Ezekiel got in Ezekiel 33. A call to be a watchman. See, when the enemy approached, it was the watchman It's responsibility to warn the city by blowing a trumpet. One thing about spiritual battle is that most people don't realize. They can't see into the unseen. They only see what's before them. Most people are sleeping when it comes to spiritual battle. They're not up on the wall watching. You and I need to be watchmen on the wall. Need to identify and see the enemy infiltrating our heart, our mind. Again, the greatest battle is not when I see somebody throw up or scream. The greatest battle happens in your heart. It's unseen. It happens in your mind. It is unseen. And we need to blow the trumpet. We need to pray. We need to intercede. We need to walk in faith. We need to tell that mountain to move. Do you see the demonic attack on your family? The generational sin, the alcoholism, the addiction, divorce, families being split up, the rejection in the family, the abandonment, the abuse, the conflict, the division, the fatherlessness, the orphan spirit. Let's be that watchman on the wall. Do you see the demonic attack on the church? The legalism, the religious spirit, the politics in the church, the division, the control, the self-righteousness. We need to be that watchman on the wall. Do you see, church, that this is the last days? There's dark shadow covering this nation. The demonic is stealing the hearts and mind of this nation. My call to you, let's be the watchman on the wall. And God's people said, amen.